Once again, welcome to an opportunity to gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to worship together as the body of Christ, the one who has been raised from the dead, is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and continuing to pour out himself upon his church, that we may be truly witnesses of him. Several of announcements. Today we are 1 week ahead. If you are following the church year, liturgical year, this is the sixth Sunday of Easter. Next Sunday is Ascension Sunday. But we are not meeting next Sunday, and that's another announcement for us all. So I decided, prerogative that I have on my last Sunday, to move Ascension Sunday to this Sunday. And so we're going to say goodbye to Jesus today as he ascends into heaven. And what the text of that passage wants to teach us today. So that's the reason. Next Sunday, if you go to another church, and hopefully you will, and you hear the same passages of Scripture from the Ascension Sunday, you'll know why. You'll know why. You're not losing it at all. We are all invited back this afternoon to Mary and my farewell. I've done farewell parties in the past, but I've never done retirement parties, so I'd have no idea what to expect. But we are all invited to come and join the festivities this afternoon. And then on Tuesday, take note of our opportunity to serve alongside the folks at Salvation Army. And then once again, there is no service next week. There are a number of people who are going to be gone, and the leadership decided that, being a holiday weekend, we will invite you to worship in another place. But also that afternoon is the service at Waterview Pines. Now, after today, you have not gotten rid of me yet. I will be back on the 5th of June, which sounds very weird, feels very weird. But as you know, we did have to postpone our confirmation Sunday because of COVID. And so Russ and Megan are looking forward to that day. And I'm looking forward to that day, to being back with you in officiating that confirmation Sunday, or the rite of confirmation. Take note of all the rest of the announcements and make yourself available in the way that the Lord leads. Let's stand and read responsibly our call to worship and be ready to sing two opening hymns today. Clap your hands, people of God. Shout to God with cries of joy. Look to the heavens, brothers and sisters in Christ. Witness the power of our God. Clap your hands, people of God. Shout to God with cries of joy. And let us indeed do that as we sing our two opening hymns. The first is found on 263, A Hymn of Glory. A hymn of glory let us sing, new hymns throughout the world we bring. Alleluia, alleluia, Christ by the road before a cross, ascend unto the throne of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Then turn two pages over to 265. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Hail him the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred fruit we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Lord, as we come to the end of telling your story, from the baby born in a manger to you now sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, your Father and our Father, we are here to praise you, for you are above all power and authority. You are the King of Kings. You are the head of the church. And we are here to worship, and we are here to listen to your word that you have written for us. Open our hearts and our minds to receive, that we may be quick to obey and be found faithful in your sight. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen.
Our first lesson this morning is from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven." The second lesson is taken from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and anointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Amen. At this time, we'll call upon our usher to receive our morning tithes and gifts. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for what you have done to pay the price that as we believe in you, O Lord, putting our trust in you, we may have the hope of everlasting life. We would have the hope of the forgiveness of sins and to experience all that you have for us. We are grateful for this, Lord, and we give of ourselves to you, asking for your blessing, both on the gift and the giver, we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and give praise to God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above.
You may be seated. If you have your Bibles in front of you, I would invite you to turn with me to the last chapter of the book of Luke, and beginning with verse 44. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he is seeking to convince his disciples that indeed he has been raised. He is now with his disciples, and they think that they have just seen a ghost, and he said, well, give me something to eat. Give me something to eat, and I'll prove to you that I have been raised physically. And so they did, and they discovered once again how alive he was. And then he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning right here in Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Throughout the ages, artists have made great efforts to depict the ascension of our Lord in various paintings. And some of those paintings have been rather comical, with images of Jesus' feet dangling beneath a mass of clouds. In all of those paintings, the disciples were looking up. One or two of them might have been thinking to themselves, come on, Jesus, get your head out of the clouds. But the thing is, Jesus' ascension was about much more than this vertical locomotion to the heavens. Out of the 10 verses we read this morning, only half of one verse tells us about Jesus going up into heaven. The importance of the ascension lies in the words that Jesus says to his disciples before he goes anywhere. He knows that if anyone needs grounding, it's them. Jesus knows that if there's anyone that needs to get their heads out of the clouds, it's his disciples. After the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples. And after those 40 days, the disciples were starting to get a little restless. They were wondering what was going to happen now that Christ had been resurrected. So they started asking questions. They wanted to know what the next step was. They were wondering when Jesus the Messiah would restore the kingdom of Israel as God had always promised his people he would do. So as Jesus prepares to ascend to heaven, he gives the disciples some direction. Our reading this morning tells us that Jesus opened their mind to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. As the disciples were waiting for Jesus to do something great, he pointed right back at him and told them it was their turn. He said, "You are my witnesses." And that includes us. That includes where we are right now, at this moment, right here in Virginia, Minnesota. This place is included in Jesus' commission. We are to be God's witnesses right here. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the power from on high, as Jesus calls it, is a promise for this community, a promise for this time, and a promise for this church. And when the disciples were busying themselves with wonder about what would happen next, just when it would have been so easy for them to get distracted by all that was going around them, just when they had spent the next several hours with their heads in the clouds wondering what exactly Jesus would return, Jesus brings a word to them and to us back here on earth. Get your head out of the clouds, he says. You've got work to do. The terrible temptation that disciples of Jesus face is that it is so easy to get lazy, thinking that Christ will sort out everything when he returns. We even go to great lengths predicting when exactly Christ will return, perhaps so we don't have to do the real work of God's kingdom. It was about 10 years ago that the head of the Family Radio Broadcasting Network, Harold Camping, predicted through 2,000 billboards worldwide that on May 21st, 2011, the righteous, which totaled 3% of humanity, was to be whisked away to heaven. You remember that? I sort of remember that. Leaving the rest of us to weather 5 months of extreme natural disasters until October 21, 2011, whereupon God was to destroy the entire universe and everything in it. Camping claimed to have infallible, absolute proof that this was going to happen, and that there was no point in making plans for Memorial Day weekend. Sadly, quite a number of people bought into it, selling their possessions and paying big money for billboards. Of course, predicting exactly when Christ will return is nothing new. For example, preacher Samuel S. Snow predicted Jesus would return on October 22, 1844, and thousands of people gave away all their possessions only to be surprised when the world did not end. That day came to be known as the Great Disappointment. In 1806, news of Christ's return came by means of a hen in Leeds, England, who had been laying eggs with that bore the message, "Christ is coming." Thus, she was named the Prophet Hen of Leeds. Apparently, great numbers of people came to visit the spot where this hen was laying these eggs, and many people suddenly became extremely religious as they prayed fervently and repented of their evil ways. But as it is written in the history books, some gentlemen, hearing of the matter, went one fine morning and caught the hen in the act of laying one of her miraculous eggs. And close by was a young lad inscribing the words on an egg with pen and ink. moving forward in history. In his 1996 book, The Planet Earth 20,000 AD, Hal Lindsey had been making big money predicting the end of the world since his 1970 best-selling book, The Late Great Planet Earth, wrote that Christians should not make any plans after the year 2000. And Pat Robertson said on a broadcast of the 700 Club, "I guarantee you that by October or November of 1982, there is going to be a judgment on this world." Robertson later acknowledged, "I have a relatively good track record, but sometimes I miss." Jesus knew from the beginning of the disciples' concerns. Jesus knew they would watch in wonder as he ascended into heaven, and they begin to wonder about when he would return in his glory. And so he had one last conversation with them. "This is what is written, guys. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And a change of heart and life for the forgiveness of sins must be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Beginning from Jerusalem, you are witnesses of these things." In a legal sense, a witness is a person who, because of some experience they have had or something that they have seen, is in a unique position to tell the truth about some important matter. And Jesus commissions his disciples to bear witness to God's mighty acts in history, to proclaim Christ's good news in an empire that had crucified the good news. They've been called into a proverbial courtroom to bear witness about Jesus the Christ amid the competing testimonies, testimonies that promise peace through violence, fulfillment through wealth, and power through exploitation. And they aren't to do this on their own. They are only to do this through the power and the prompting of the Holy Spirit living inside them. Luke's gospel makes it clear that the Holy Spirit's work is made manifest in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus gives us an outline of the Holy Spirit's work in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And here, at the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus promises the same Spirit of God is to come upon each and every one of us. Jesus is no longer physically here to heal the sick and to feed the hungry. So the mission of Jesus now falls to his disciples. Jesus tells his disciples immediately before he is lifted up that it is their job to take the message globally to the ends of the earth. And this is the message of the church, of which each of us is a part. Hearing this can be staggering. Bearing witness to Christ in a world that suffers is overwhelming. How can our community, let alone the world, ever be free from poverty or hunger or being lost because they do not know Christ? But that's exactly what Jesus is preparing his disciples for. It's as if he anticipated their question, "How will we do this, Lord?" when he said, "Look, I'm sending to you what my Father has promised,
that you are to stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Christ's disciples have a clear mission. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit, and Christ tells us to get going. A prayer that is attributed to Saint Teresa of Avila goes something like this: God of love, help us to remember that Christ has no body now on earth but ours, no hands but ours, no feet but ours. Ours are the eyes to see the needs of the world. Ours are the hands with which to bless everyone now. Ours are the feet with which Jesus is to go about doing good. We are to be the hands, the feet, the eyes, the voice of Christ as we reach out to a lost, broken, and dying world. There is no bigger job to be done. There is no more important job in all the world. And there is no greater privilege to which we can be called. It would be a strange sight to see a man ascending toward the heavens. And it can be more than intimidating to think about telling a scared and unbelieving world about the love and the mercy of God, which defies even the greatest powers. But we need to get our heads out of the clouds. We need to stop wondering and worrying, because things are looking up. Like those disciples so many years ago, we are to go from this place today with joy, worshiping, praising, and preaching good news to the poor, release for the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and the liberation to the oppressed. We are to do this right here in Virginia, Minnesota, in all of the United States, and to the ends of the earth. May we indeed be witnesses to all nations, beginning right here. Amen and amen. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending us your Son. And as you have sent him, he is now sending us into a world, into the next steps of life and ministry. We thank you for where you have taken us, and we put our trust in you, knowing that you already know where you are going to take us. May we hear your words today, to be found faithful in expressing the experience that we have in the Lord Jesus. For we have seen, we have heard, we know the forgiveness of sins and the outcome of being released from the penalty and the power of sin in our lives. We can offer this world the hope that is found in Christ Jesus. May we indeed become more and more witnesses of this experience you give to us. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this church, and for the years that it has been faithful to you in proclaiming your good news. Continue to bless them, O Lord, in these days of transition. Bless them with understanding and direction that they know that they can know that they can know that you are also present, and you are also leading them, guiding them, inviting them to receive the power that is from on high.
Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to serve together. Thank you, Lord, that someday you will return, and may you find faith amongst your people, and may you find faith in the midst of the world that you have created but has fallen, and that you are working to present this world back to your Father and our Father. It is in your precious name that we pray. Amen and amen. Each of us moves forward because it is God who is faithful. Even when we are faithless, even when we flub up in life, God is faithful. Let's turn in our hymn books to number 78, and let's stand and sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Number 78.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassion they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses are.
You may be seated.
Today we bid farewell to Pastor Dennis and Mary, and to do so we have a service of farewell, the insert for which you find in your bulletin. Take it out and follow along. There is a part for the congregation to read. And so I'm going to ask Pastor and Mary to come and stand here. Our church family is constantly changing. People come and go. Babies are born, children grow up. people commit themselves to one another. Loved ones and friends among us come to the end of their lives. Individuals move into our community and church life. Others leave us, moving away to new places, new experiences, and new opportunities. It is important and right that we recognize these times of passage, of endings and beginnings. Today we share the time of farewell with Pastor Dennis and Mary, who are leaving. On September 10th, 2017, this congregation installed Pastor Dennis to serve as pastor.
And I thank the First Covenant Church of Virginia, its members and friends, for the love, kindness, and support shown me and Mary these last 5 years. I am grateful for the ways my leadership has been accepted, and I ask for forgiveness for any mistakes I have made. As I leave, I carry with me all that I have learned here.
We
I accept your gratitude and forgive you, trusting that our time together and our parting are pleasing to God.
Do you, the members and friends of First Covenant Church, release Pastor Dennis from the duties of pastor? Do you offer your encouragement for Pastor Dennis's ministry as it unfolds in new ways? Do you, Pastor Dennis, release this local church from turning to you and depending on you as pastor?
I do, with the help of God.
Do you offer your encouragement for the continued ministry here and for the relationship this congregation will develop with another who will come to serve after you?
I do, with the help of God.
Let us pray. O God, for remembered times when we together have shared the life of faith, we express our sincere gratitude. We thank you for the moments we have shared with Pastor Dennis and Mary in worship, in learning, in serving, and in Christian living. We pray that they will be aware of your Spirit's guidance as they move to a new place, in the name of Jesus, the Savior God, whose everlasting love for us is trustworthy. Help each of us to trust the future, which rests in your care. The time we were together in your name saw our laughter and our tears, our hopes and disappointments. Guide us as we hold these cherished memories, but move in new directions, until that time to come when we are completely one with you and with each other. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. As a keepsake to remember us, accept this candle and light it in your next place of ministry. Remember that God's light always burns within you. Go now, surrounded by our love and led by the promises of God, the presence of Jesus Christ, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. One of the songs that I have been singing since I've been knee-high to a grasshopper has been Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. This song is a song about a relationship with Jesus Christ and all that he does, and that we can know that we know that we know that Jesus is not only alive,
but Jesus is Lord and Savior of Lord and Savior in our hearts, in our lives. So I invite you to stand with me as we sing together in testimony, in witness of the living Christ. Number 430.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, breathe from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
We hear that today that Jesus ascended into heaven, and he sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Well, he's not just sitting around as we might think about sitting around, but he is definitely engaged with his church. In fact, every day when his mercies come to us, he fills us anew to be his church and to work the works of his ministry. For we are his hands, his feet, his mouth, his body in this world. May we continue to be found faithful, using the gifts that God has given to us for the furtherance of the good news of the forgiveness of sins for the whole world. Let's turn to each other again and offer the blessing that God gives to each and every one of us.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious.